You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Why does it have to be white, Chris?
Snow is white, John. Come on, give me a fucking break.
You can't say that in Trump's America.
Oh, God, here we go. It's like, it's not politically correct to say it's a white Christmas anymore. Well, guess what? It's a white Christmas. That's my Trump impression. I don't know. I gotta work on it. But yeah, Donald Trump's a prick. Snow is white. Here we go. We're talking about snow, winter, Christmas levels in video games. This is going to be a little of a shorter episode today because Jean and I are on Christmas or winter break right now, and we're just enjoying spending time with our families and our significant others and all that jazz. So we're just going to go right into it, just talking about our favorite snow levels. And probably for me, one of the things I've always kind of associated with the Hitman franchise is its winter levels, particularly in Blood Money, where it's called You Better Watch Out. Now, have you ever played Blood Money or any of the particular levels in the game?
Was Blood Money the one with the black cover?
I know. Yes, it was. Really, it was the black cover.
Definitely have played Blood Money then.
Yeah. But the thing that sticks out about this level is that it's so great because it opens up where you basically have to kill this guy that creates porn movies for a living. Mm-hmm. And you go to it where you got to kill that guy at this like glacial estate that's like built into the side of a mountain. And it's like, it probably takes like something, I forget if it's like in up north in the States or like some like northern European country, but it's like built in the side of the mountains, like super high up. We have to like take an elevator all the way up, but you got to kill this porn industry guy. We also got to kill this senator's son who basically has killed all these like porn models that have worked for this guy, and he's like blackmailing them. But what I love about the level is that so much of it actually involves you just going outside, and where you have to basically trick everyone, and you push like people off like ledges and things like that, and you use the environment actually to like kind of mess with people. Where the senator's son, he's completely like naked, or he's got like a Speedo on, but he actually remarks on how cold it is outside, and it's like a reference to the Bing Crosby song. It's cold. Whatever the fuck the song is, I don't remember. But
well, baby is cold.
Yeah, baby, baby, it's cold outside. Like that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's Bing Crosby. Whatever. But the thing is, what I especially like about it is that you get to dress up as Santa Claus and use your Garrett wire to choke people to death. So that's always.
I always love the costumes in Hitman, though.
Yeah. It is great.
Wait, did you get also like a fat man?
It's a chubby outfit.
Yeah, chubby Santa.
You have to kill the guy to get his suit because he's drunk. And so you have to poison him, and then you can take the suit, and you have to drag his body to like the bathroom or something like that. But so it really—I
really want to play Hitman.
I mean, could. They have that. Well, they have that Christmas themed DLC for Hitman out right now.
So. I guess that's true. Hitman, mm-hmm. Hitman's staying in the season.
It's coming back. Yeah, it's keeping up with that.
Are there any Hanukkah themed things? I know it's a different episode for a different day.
I think I was actually looking up if there are any Hanukkah games. I think there is some like obscure stuff, like when back in the days when like Quaker Oats was making games and things like that. So I think there might have been like
a Hanukkah game. Quaker Oats is called Quaker Oats because Quakers.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got the hat. It's the guy. He's a Quaker. Yeah. So.
But I thought he was a pilgrim.
I guess he is. Well, he kind of is. You know, he's the. But they're the super strict pilgrim. You know, they're even worse than the Puritans. Like they're so. I don't think there's any Quakers left. Like, aren't they all dead at this point?
I don't know, but yeah. I hope we're not offending anybody.
I hope not. Sorry. Maybe there's like a denomination. Anyway, so one of my other games that does offend a lot of people is Saints Row 4.
But if you're offending everybody, are you really offending anybody?
Yeah. See, we're not living in a politically correct world anymore, John. It's Trump's America. But yes, one of the one of my favorite pieces of DLC ever is probably for Saints Row 4, which is a Christmas-themed DLC. It was called How the Saints Save Christmas.
I actually played this one recently.
You really?
Yeah.
And where the whole thing is basically, you know, I'm not going to get into the details of the Saints Row 4's plot because it's fucking out
there. Dude, it's a very elaborate plot with emotional beats.
Yes, it does. It's quite emotional. But the basic plot of this game is that you need to save Santa Claus and stop an evil Santa Claus. And what's great about this game, or this particular DLC, is that they have an entire level just created of like Santa's factory and home and workshop.
Yeah,
and
super cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. And there's great things about, like, there's little Easter eggs, little kind of side missions. Because the main missions, yeah, you got to save Santa Claus. But one of my favorite is that you have to go around and looking for these snowmen. And I think because one of these, I think the elves are fucking with you, and they put all these snowmen in weird, horrible positions, like tons of like sexual positions and things like that, and more others are like they've been murdered horribly, and they all talk to you, and they all like something, they all say something like very, very sad, and I'm just like, that's so funny. I love that. Snowmen being murdered.
The point is to like spread holiday cheer?
I think so. Yeah, that's it's, well, here's the thing, the boss, or the player protagonist, Nolan North. He is one of the voices. I think, what's the other guy? Troy Baker, I think, does the other voice for the.
Does he do a voice?
I think he does it too. Oh. He's the American voice for it. This is before because he did it for 3 as well. This is before Troy Baker was a big name in the video game industry. Okay. It's Troy Baker and Nolan North and some other people. But yeah, basically, the boss does not have any Christmas cheer, doesn't believe in Santa Claus, and the Saints are trying to make him believe. And he goes on this quest to save Santa.
Which is really weird. Like, once you see Santa, and you, aren't you kind of just like, oh, well, okay, yeah, he is real.
He is real, yeah. And it's like, and they do it, and he gets presents, even though
they're the worst?
Yeah, he's a gangster, he's a murderer, and president of the United States, and... it's pretty bad. I mean, not as bad now, right?
Now.
Yeah, compared to what we have. But speaking of games that I don't care about... Kingdom Hearts 2,
wonderful segue.
Halloween and Christmas Town levels. Can you speak to these at all?
I can tell. Okay. Let me tell you.
I mean, they're in this game, right? Because there's a fucking million Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
Games.
Well, first, Halloween Town is in Kingdom Hearts 1 as well.
Okay.
Which to me, Halloween Town is so Christmas. Like when you thought about Christmas and you're thinking about how we opened the show, I was like, why don't we just open it? With this is Halloween. Oh, that's not a Christmas song, is it?
This is Halloween. That's all I know.
Is that movie a Halloween or a Christmas movie?
It's both. People gotta get over themselves. It's both. You know, it's for either holiday.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. In the second game, you get to go to Christmas Town, which I remember being super excited about. And it's more, it's, you know, Kingdom Hearts. You have to save the world.
Yeah.
Unlock the keyhole, just be heartless. So it isn't as in-depth as Saints Row 4 is, mm-hmm. at least not in my memory. But it is what I do love about going to Halloween Town is you always get like costume changes.
Yeah.
And so Jack Skellington becomes a part of your team. And I believe he does wear the whole Santa thing. And they recreate like certain sections of Christmas Town, which you don't really
see
too much in the movie. So it's just nice to get an opportunity to return there.
Mm-hmm.
And when Kingdom Hearts 2 re-releases on March 24th for PS4.
Is this like the fifth one or whatever?
This is, okay, on March, every single game is releasing. I'm talking Kingdom Hearts 1,
collection.
2, 2.5, 2.8 DHD, Dream Drop Distance, 358 over 2 days, final chapter mix, Birth by Sleep,
that's the fucking one that had the sleep in it. Yeah, I knew there was one that had some weird sleep title. But, so, it was a faithful recreation of Halloween and Christmas time.
Yeah, that's...
Or improved upon Christmas.
I know how much you, like, poo-poo on Kingdom Hearts, but, like, that's kind of wonderful about what it does, is it does pay homage to those Disney worlds. Mm. Like, you do recreate Halloween Town and Christmas Town, too. Yeah. Great. Like, you don't get to explore them as much, but, like... A perfect recreation. Right. You also get to see Steamboat Willie and Lion King and stuff like that. And I love Halloween Town was the first instance of this in the first game where you Sora kind of change to your environment a little bit. So it was, I don't know. I just love to see the main character also get into the festiveness of the vibe.
Cool. So, no, I'm glad you enjoy it. Moving on to something I think it gets a bad rap is Batman Arkham Origins. And
haven't played it.
Yeah, it's a good game.
I'm sure it is.
It is. It's a,
but
it's a
Rocksteady
good game.
Seems to want to ignore it too.
Yeah, well, yeah, they, I know it's kind
of
sad.
They put out a collection and instead of 3 games where you could have just called it like an Arkham trilogy.
Yeah,
you just the first two.
Yeah, clearly, yeah, Rocksteady was not happy about that spinoff. But what I do like about this game is its environment, where it kind of reuses some assets from Arkham City, at least some of it, but where. Like in Arkham City, it's open world. Actually, it's a larger open world than Arkham City, but it all takes place in Gotham, and it's during winter. And I don't know, something about Batman in winter, it just meshes perfectly, particularly when, even when you're just walking the streets and like they're abandoned because the game does something weird. It's like no one's out because it's Christmas Eve and everyone's home. It's like, I think people would be outside even though it's Christmas Eve, but that was the excuse they have to use. But I think it's really nice just to see kind of this, this gothic architecture covered by snow. It just fits perfectly with Batman's world. And like a number of the cutscenes where they have the snow and like Batman's basically taking up all these thugs and tying them around Christmas trees. It just really works for that. And even like the kind of the winter DLC that released for this was, I think, called Heart of Ice, which is a Mr. Freeze DLC, where it's basically you fighting Mr. Freeze, and he's taken over all these different, like, sections of the city, and he actually kind of freezes part of Wayne Manor and creates, like, a little kind of domain for himself. But I think it was pretty cool. So yeah. all of kind of Origins is winter, or just snow-themed. So.
Which is, we talked about this last two episodes ago, mm-hmm. About Dead Rising 4 and its commitment to Christmas.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot that Origins was set during Christmas Eve, and yeah. I don't think it probably commits as hard as Dead Rising 4 does, because
no.
Dead Rising 4 just like goes all fucking mm-hmm. in with it. But to set your game during Christmas, I wish that would happen more, that like games are set during a specific time,
yeah,
or like some sort of holiday. I don't know, like movies do.
Well, they stand out that way.
Yeah, it becomes more of a something to return to.
Yeah,
like I could see myself like, well, Arkham set during Christmas, why mm-hmm. not play it now? So yeah, like you're right, this game does get a bad rap, but
yeah.
Although I've heard recently, like as Arkham Knight came out, they're like, maybe Origins was better than we thought.
Yeah, I still really like Arkham Knight. I think it had issues. I mean, we've talked about
this
before.
It's a little bloated, but
yeah, I think Origins is very good. And even like the Joker is, he loves Christmas, by the way. And he decks out his entire hideout with like Christmas presents and
really?
Like cookies and things like that. He's all about that. It actually works really, really well. Even his introduction is kind of Christmas themed. So
that seems awesome.
It's pretty cool. But speaking of, yeah, exactly. That's true. It's Troy Baker. But speaking of Batman, we can talk about briefly Batman Returns, which is the, I think it's it's a Sega Master Genesis game. There's a bunch of Sega games, but it came out for, Sega consoles.
That Game Gear.
Yeah, the Game Gear. But yeah, Batman Returns, which is based on Batman Returns 1992 film, I want to say. Yeah, 1992 film, where it has Danny DeVito as the Penguin. I am not an animal. I am cold-blooded. That's what he says, John. John has not seen Batman Returns.
I didn't see the first 1989 Batman until 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's just fine. It's Batman great. Kills the Joker.
He kills a lot of people in that movie. He kills a lot of people in Batman Returns as well. All he does is murder.
Why are we okay with that?
Because at the time, we never thought we would get a Batman movie. It's just like, Jesus Christ, it's happened. And so Tim Burton, he's like, he doesn't give a fuck. But yeah, he doesn't. But with but Batman Returns, it's a side-scrolling game. Most of the levels in the game are kind of winter and snow-themed, where you're basically fighting the Red Circus gang. Penguin has like a clown-themed game in this. Like, they were rejects from a circus.
Clowns.
They're all clowns. And like mimes. It's like, shouldn't these people be with the Joker? But it's like, nope, it's all with the Penguin. They're like all freaks, like him, because he's an animal. And
no, he's not. He's cold-blooded.
He is cold-blooded.
So yeah, I'm learning quick.
Yes. But yeah, I have not played this game, but it's one of those things that is closely associated with like winter-themed games.
Penguin, in essence, is like a Christmas-themed villain.
Yeah. Is it? I guess so.
Waddle, 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 waddle.
Yes. But moving on from that, we have, Splinter Cell, the series is probably known for its winter levels, but the ones that have always stood out to me are actually from Double Agent, which I think also gets a bad rap, but it's because of a specific reason where I thought the PS2 and Xbox version of the games, of that game was very good. There was, when they were initially kind of re-releasing the game on the 360 and the PS3, they took out like a bunch of levels and they completely changed the plot of
Wait,
the entire game.
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Splinter Cell Double Agent for a second, because I didn't know that.
Yeah, they totally did. Where it's like,
I played this game.
On which system?
I think the 360.
Yeah, but you know,
because I was about to say, it's fine.
You know the whole sequence or the whole thing where
you have to like kill your friends or something?
Well, yeah, basically it's like that. But yeah, Sam Fisher, he's going undercover to infiltrate this terrorist organization. The thing is that you actually get to know a lot of those characters within that terrorist organization. There's actually an entire subplot, entire like last section of the game when it's basically you pursuing this romance with one of those members of the organization. I forget her name off the top of my head, but there's like all these cutscenes involving with that, and where kind of the game ends with your this person you fall in love with dying in your arms, and the game just kind of ends that way, and it's kind of like Sam completely lost and not really knowing what to do with himself. Where the Xbox 360 and PS3 version of the game just ends after you complete the mission, and it says to be continued, and that's it. And all that subplot with like this person that you've fallen in love with is just completely gone, and they actually kill her in a part of gameplay just to kind of do away with it. It was really fucked up. For the time, I was like, wow, that's why people should, if people think of Double Agent negatively, check out the PS2 and Xbox original version of the games. So
I never heard about it. You're literally blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, people were very upset at the time. Like, I was, as someone who really enjoyed playing the Splinter Cell games in the Xbox, I was like, what happened here? And that's what I think. I think that spelled the decline in the Splinter Cell franchise.
Like, so...
Because
after this Conviction had already gone through. I remember seeing early screens, and you were like an old bearded kind of Sam Fisher. Yeah, and then they cut that.
The reaction was so negative when it was shown at E3 that I think we got to start this whole thing over, because everyone's like, this isn't, because it's not Splinter Cell.
It was more actiony, right?
It was like an open world. They said it was inspired by like Assassin's Creed at the time, I think, and like the first one. And it was like open world, and basically Sam Fisher wasn't really an agent. You're a hobo trying to figure something out. It's very weird stuff, you know. But then they kind of redid it with Conviction, and they came back, and they made it more of a Splinter Cell game. And then Blacklist came out, and they didn't have Michael Ironside, and was like, what the fuck is this? No one played it. That's why we're not seeing the Splinter Cell franchise continue on.
But that's sad.
Yeah, it is. But with Double Agent, like the first level opens up in Iceland, which is this geothermal plant, which you're basically trying to infiltrate and stop the launch of these nuclear weapons. And what's really cool about it is that, again, it's how you interact with the environment, where part of the game opens up where you can go underneath like ice, and you can like suck people down beneath you, basically kill them. You can either slit their throats or choke them out in the water, basically drown them. Really, really cool. And I like how the environment even fights against you, where people can, because when you're making your way through snow, you leave tracks. And people can then see these tracks and investigate. And so you have to be very, very careful. So you got to like double back and make like a circle to confuse all the guards and stuff and make your way throughout the level, which I thought was a really cool design. And then there's also the second level, which is, or one of the other levels, which is the Sea of Okokasakaka, wherever the hell it is. It's a boat level that takes place. Basically, it's a boat that's been taken over by terrorists. And I think, yeah, in some fucking cold country. I forget where it is. But then you have to basically infiltrate this whole section where you have to make your way through this camp like during a snowstorm, which is really cool. Again, using the environment to kind of protect yourself, and then eventually kind of making your way to this boat to then infiltrate it, and then again using the environment to cover your tracks and things like that. But I think it's really good.
I'm still... Yeah. Lord, by that bomb you dropped.
Double Agent. I know my Splinter Cell. But yeah, have you ever, so you only played the original Double Agent. Do you remember those levels at all, or did they stand out to you like they did to me?
I remember outside dirt levels. What I remember, and I'm not going to be any help on this particular section of Christmas winter levels, but I do remember walking through the terrorist organization taking files.
That's the level. Really. Not only taking files, but like when they're right next to you. Yeah. Like there's one part, because those are like optional objectives in the game, where there's like three missions where you have to go back to the base, and there's this one filing cabinet just next to like this guy that's sitting there, like his desk, and he's right next to me. I'm just like taking the files out. It's like, that was in the 360 version, but I think it's different in the Xbox.
Wait, so have you played both versions?
I have. Yeah, because I really enjoyed Double Agent, and I thought, this is kind of fucked up. So they really screwed over the next gen version of Double Agent.
I think stealth games just stress me the fuck out.
Yeah, they're super stressful.
Because I remember playing Double Agent, and even just like every mission, I don't know, I'm just
reloading.
Yeah, because I'm just like,
yeah,
like that all the time.
So. That's why my first playthrough, I just kind of run through it and kind of figure out the levels, and I just shoot people in the head, and then I do my.
I think that's why I liked Conviction.
Yeah, which is just totally that.
Because you use the camera under the door and like pinpoint everyone and just pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the original Splinter Cell games are very methodical, and that's why you have to go through the levels multiple times.
I remember, what's the third one called? Right before Double Agent.
Pandora's Tomorrow? Chaos Theory.
Yeah. I remember playing that on an Xbox demo and being like, oh, fuck. Yeah. This is what games look like? So, Splinter Cell. That's my Splinter Cell story.
Yes. But moving on from that, probably a fairly controversial game, Dead Space 3, which the majority of that game actually takes place on an entire planet that's been... it's all snow, and that's called Tau Volantis. Now, I like...
Is this inspired by The Thing?
It is totally inspired by The Thing, and which... When I first heard that Dead Space 3 is going to be, all about kind of like The Thing, that environment, basically Antarctica, I'm thinking, perfect. Because, Dead Space, the original game, clearly, like, the designs were all based on the creature designs from John Carpenter's The Thing, and I love that. And I love the environment in Dead Space 3 when you're on that planet. I just hate everything else. Like, I hate how they kind of changed the combat system. I hate that they made a co-op, and I hate the fucking story.
Wait, hold on. They changed the combat system? The most perfect thing about the game?
Well, it became more action-y, where you're able to roll around and things like that, and you have to, not that you didn't have to play the game co-op, but if you did so, it just became more of an action, basically, like Resident Evil 5. Resident Evil 6, like kind of in that style.
I hate this. So yeah, why you do this?
But Tau Volantis, like those outside winter levels, are really, really cool. And when you have like the necromorphs popping out of the snow and things like that, and then snowstorms, and they're coming after you. Like sometimes they're quiet about it. It's really effective. And even I love it. Your suit kind of like has like a parka kind of type to it, where you get like a little fur. It's like that makes no fucking sense. Yeah, but it's really fun. I love aesthetically. I really like Dead Space.
That sounds terrifying though. Like add. The snow is basically can be like white darkness in a sense because it's just you're blinded by the fog and then the blankets.
Yeah.
You just enemies get covered, and that you describing a necromorph just like popping out of the snow, I'm just like, fuck that.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's really cool. And then of course probably one of the most well known like as winter themed games is Skyrim. Like all of it is winter. All of it is snow.
Fusroda.
I'm gonna eventually play Skyrim Special Edition. I'm really excited to get back.
I've never been Skyrim.
It's really good.
Which is really odd because I bought it day one. I just never beat it. I love Oblivion. Yeah. I did buy Skyrim
Special Edition. Yeah, I really dislike Oblivion. I don't like its levels, I don't like its story, and I think its side quest, particularly I think like Thieves Guild, awful. Where they completely fix it with Skyrim. Huh. Like, in terms of, like, the side quests, I love them all. I don't want to go in the same fucking cave over and over and over again. Whereas Skyrim, I know it's, like, however many years later, but it fixed what I didn't like about Oblivion. But, yeah, all of Skyrim is great. I think, again, the snow, when you're just traveling, across all these different environments, whether it be mountainous or maybe the lowland regions where you get, like, a lot of pine trees. It just works really well.
No, yeah, it really world builds. Because, like I said, I did get to play it a little bit, and it's... Again, there's something about being in a frosty environment that's just, it doesn't happen enough in video games.
Yeah.
And it's so, having your entire world kind of be centered around that in a sense is just an enjoyable diversion.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, this is all you, man. Animal Crossing.
I'm just so glad you didn't skip it. I put it in all caps so you wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I was like, all right, well, tell me about Animal Crossing.
Well, it's called Toy Day, sir.
Okay.
And so, throughout all the games, Toy Day kind of happens on a different day.
Mm-hmm.
In New Leaf, it's just like a couple days before Christmas. It's a way for them to like not be non-religious. It can be any holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And in New Leaf, you can even get like a Santa outfit, which goes against the Christmas part. But it's like you can get a Santa outfit and leading up to Toy Day. You're talking to all your neighbors and all your residents and kind of finding out what gifts they want for Toy Day.
Oh, boy.
And then like, you can deliver them just as Santa. And they're like, oh, thank you.
That's nice.
Also, because Animal Crossing is very tailored to your internal clock for your system.
Right.
The music kind of changes a little bit. It gets a little more Christmassy. And there's snow everywhere. Like, just constant snow. Mm-hmm. There are little Christmas lights on the buildings in town. You can put a Christmas lights on Tom Nook's house. The trees can have lights in them. And it also brings new fish and new butterflies and new things to dig under the underground.
I was gonna say, how do you pick your turnips and all that junk? Are they all frozen?
It's frost.
Oh, is it?
I don't remember.
Is that the...
I just remember putting a lot of hours into this game and thinking this was adorable.
No, I know. I know a lot of people still love Animal Crossing.
I have no idea why I like it so much. And I really hope Stardew Valley doesn't quite scratch that itch because I don't want to lose 100 hours.
Yeah, you're going to lose 100. That's, I can't do it because I will get lost in that game. If we're going to review it, then I'll pose questions to you and you can talk about your marrying whatever the hell it is and and growing your crops and all that nonsense. Probably one of the best kind of winter levels,
most well-known, yeah.
Well, most well-known certainly recently, is probably Uncharted 2's kind of levels with Nepal and Shambhala. And where, again, I liked it because it was so different from the first Uncharted, which all took place in a jungle and at sea in the beginning of the game. But yeah. I loved it because I just love that opening of the game when it starts out where it's like a snowstorm and you're looking outside. And, well, it's Nathan Drake in his train. He's bleeding to death, basically a gunshot wound. And he looks out and the snow is like falling it's falling down, like, even though he's, like, at his side. You know,
yeah, and he's very confused.
Yeah, like, he's confused. Very, like, I'm confused just trying to explain it. But he's confused, and he's like, oh, you realize that he's in a train car that's, like, on the edge of a cliff, and it's, like, swinging back and forth. He's like, oh, crap. And it's, like, perfect. And I love that moment when you finally, like, climb up, and, of course, when the thing tumbles down, and you're just making your way. And that's, again, little small things that Naughty Dog added where you can see your kind of footprints in the snow, but not only that, but you can see where you're creating this path for yourself, and the snow is kind of getting all bunched up at the sides, and your jeans and your clothes are starting to get like frost all over them. I think, wow, that's really, really cool. And of course, yeah, for the rest of the game, towards the end, when you're making across this kind of, before you get to the ancient underground city, which is basically a jungle, which is very weird, you're making across like all these buildings which are all covered in snows, and also there are Yetis in this game, which who doesn't love angry zombie Yetis? I certainly do.
This opening of Uncharted 2 is going to go down as one of the best openings,
yeah,
of all time.
Opening.
It really is. And I do remember, I love how you finally get out of the train.
Yeah.
And you like stumble along as you beat the mission. And then you end that mission by like falling in the snow.
Yeah.
And like left for dead in a flashback. But I do remember like trying to explain to my girlfriend, no, there are certain games that are like movies.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what is, it's like, let me show you, let me introduce you to Mr. Drake over here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, showing her this entire opening and like this, just Naughty Dog. You yeah know how to do things.
They know.
And it's beautiful. Oh, something worth noting is the snowy levels during Last of Us.
Oh my God, I completely forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah, because that's the Troy Baker introduction, or not Troy Baker, Nolan North introduction.
Yeah, too. with David. Oh my God, I can't completely forget. Yeah, the entire winter scene, actually my favorite sequence in all of The Last of Us,
yeah,
was when you play as Ellie because Joel is injured in the previous chapter. And, well, it starts out with you just hunting a deer, but you eventually run into these other survivors. One, David, voiced by Nolan North. And it's such a... I guess it's perfect because it's probably the darkest sequence of the entire game, and I guess it can make sense that it takes place in winter, especially with David as a character and what he represents. Yeah, that entire, everything about that is just completely awesome. I think I even like that more than Uncharted's winter.
Yeah, because it's a much longer kind of sequence.
Yeah.
The way Last of Us works is sort of seasons, and so you're right, that winter season is a lot more colder. It is the most tonally dark to me,
yeah,
because of, I don't know, just the David's mannerisms and how there's the introduction of when she first meets another human,
yeah,
in that sequence. And also, is this is the catalyst for Left Behind, right?
Yeah,
Left Behind.
Yeah, Left Behind in the present day storyline takes place during this sequence,
okay,
which I think is cool.
But yeah, yeah, I just like remember sneaking around during this scene, and it's a lot more difficult because your vision is impaired by,
yep,
the snow. And,
yep,
and that brings up what I was saying earlier about just, that's the thing about snow that I don't think is ever really thought about. Because when I initially think snow, I do think, oh, it's fun and it's a blanket and it's soft and stuff like that. But no, it's like a hindrance in the way you can't see.
I think just in general, yeah, probably should have done this in the beginning of the episode, but it's fine. I think general snow levels can be so many different things. Like, yeah, it can be jovial and fun, but it also can be like a huge hindrance. Like, it takes on certain things that are going to be light and fluffy, but also just dark and kind of foreboding.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I think
snow because levels, it's still cold.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, absolutely. It works for everything. That's why I think snow levels in general are probably the best levels in games, typically. So, especially in the environments. Yeah, moving on from that, probably two bigger games that kind of very similar to each other in terms of their snow levels, but like Banjo-Kazooie, Freezy Peak, which if I can remember,
Freezeezy,
thank you, Freezeezy Peak. Basically, you know, Banjo, giant snowman in there. He's a fucking asshole. Snowman, whatever, the giant snowman or snow people are just assholes in these kind of like N64 games.
Yeah, because the next one throws you.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. In Mario 64,
does he take your hat?
Snowman's love. He does take your hat,
fucker.
And he's a prick. But it's the one snow level that stands out to me is Cool Cool Mountain, because actually it's the music. Yeah.
Is this the one that? Yeah. And then you erase the penguin.
Yeah. Yes, you do. You erase. You know what thing I always did? You know what I always did?
You'd use that shortcut through the wall?
No, I would always take the little baby penguin and throw him off the fucking level. Because I fucking hated that penguin. I'm like, I don't like you. Give me my goddamn star. So I did it all the time. That's what I associate. That's the one thing I think about the game. I either think the...
out of the chimney?
Yeah, I think of that. Or I also think of, like, the... the two levels I always think of is the bomb level with the giant bomb, mm-hmm. that guy, or the Cool Cool Mountain. Those are the two things.
Yeah, they really are. Mm-hmm. What happens when you throw the baby off the...
He responds. Later. I mean, but you have to like leave the level for him to come back.
Okay.
Yeah. He's fucking dead. He's dead in that instance.
The only thing I hate is when I would be racing down the mountain with him, mm-hmm. and then I'd use the shortcut, and then he finally gets there and he's like, "You cheated.
Yeah.
You don't get no star."
Oh fuck.
And I was like, "Fuck. Yeah. You smart.
I did cheat." That penguin. Oh, that is very true.
Still to this day, I haven't beaten that game. Mm-hmm. I need to.
Yeah. No, it's really good. And probably one of the most famous levels, certainly of the PS1 era, which is Shadow Moses, which is featured in Metal Gear Solid.
And 4.
And, yes. Yes, it is in 4. I have a lot of things to say about that, but I'll keep it short. Yeah, I think it works perfectly because, again, one, it sets a cool tone, but also the environment works against you, where people, kind of like in Double Agent, people can track your footprints in the snow, and they got the exclamation point over their head. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think it really works. And again, just winter, like mix of like a spy kind of like type plot. I think it just really works. Even like the facility where you go in and like it's like heat's being pumped into it. Everyone's in parkas and things. It just everything about it really works. You know, just for me. I mean, did you play the original Metal Gear Solid?
Not all the way through. Mm-hmm. I played that demo a bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I
the opening. It must have been the opening, right?
Yeah, that's how I had it. Yeah. Was the demo. I think you come out of the water or something.
You do, yeah.
So that's my main experience, and like watching gameplay of 4,
yeah,
in this level, yeah, just because it was a cool callback to me.
Yeah, that's and originally in Metal Gear Solid 4, yeah, where it's like you have to return to Shadow Moses, like oh, really cool. The thing is, it just ends on such a weird fucking note where Liquid Ocelot, who has the soul.
Explain Metal Gear Solid.
The Liquid Snake's in his arm that you cut off previously in Metal Gear Solid 1, because I don't fucking know. he reveals a Mount Rushmore of all the original snakes, basically, that comes out of the ocean.
What?
It's like Big Boss, it's like Solid Snake, and it's like, I think it's like Ocelot and someone else. And it's like all of them, like, were the founders of the Sons of Liberty. Or not the Sons of Liberty. Guns of the Patriots. Whatever the fuck. Whatever terrorist organization is in charge of. It's one of them. Where basically, yeah, it's a Mount Rushmore. It's like, this is us. This is our legacy, Snake.
Snake was part of it?
You're pretty good. Well, he's, you know, Solid Snake is the clone son of Big Boss.
Okay.
Of Naked Snake.
Yeah.
Slash, what the fuck?
Big Boss.
Nope. Venom Snake.
Wait, what? That's what he's called?
Yeah, he has different names.
Like, I've never heard.
I'll get Metal Gear Solid 5. Heard Venom Snake. Technically, it's not Big Boss in Metal Gear Solid 5, spoiler, but it's something related to him.
Chris! Chris!
Why?
I haven't played it yet.
Well, you gotta play, and then you'll find out.
You're just... Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought you might have played it.
I'll forget.
The game's been out for a year. For over a year. It's been 2 years.
They're long cutscenes.
Yeah, all right.
I've only beaten 3.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Okay. You're never going to play.
I'll definitely forget. Yeah. I've only beaten 3, so it's over.
Yeah, but yeah, probably one of the... A game I can't really remember, which is Lost Planet, which is a Capcom game. It takes place on a planet that's trying to be colonized by humanity called Eden 3. Get it, Eden? And, there's monsters under the ice and you gotta fight them.
Like Garden of Eden?
Like Garden of Eden.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much like that.
Those monsters are really cool because mm-hmm. they have big orange sacks on their body that tell you where to shoot them.
How to shoot them.
Because this game's hard unless you know where to
shoot them. It is hard. It was definitely, I think, well, this was like a launch, not a launch title, but like, it was one of the early kind of Xbox 360 PS3 games, right? 2006, I want to say?
Yeah, 2006. Yeah. All joking aside, I really do like the ideas behind this game. Mm-hmm. Because it is, again, a full-on commitment to your all snow all the time. And mm-hmm. I think the main protagonist was Asian, right?
I think so. I think you might be right. It's been a while since I played it. Like, this was, probably the first year I owned an Xbox 360.
And then there was three of these, somehow?
There was, two. Which
there was a third one.
The environment. Yeah, there was a third one. The two was, like, the planet thawed out and it became a
giant. Yeah, because that's how the first one ends. You, like, finally succeed or whatever, and you plant, like, a heat beacon or something.
As you do.
I did beat this game, I remember.
Okay.
And
three goes back to winter.
Grass starts growing.
Yeah, grass starts growing. Monsters. The monsters all come out of hibernation, I think.
The third one?
The second one. There's a lot of them now.
What?
There's a lot of, like, more monsters in the second one. Because everything gets fucked up because they changed the environment.
Do they still have the red sacks?
Yeah, they do.
Wait, why?
Because they were like, well, we don't like that you thought we were happy in the cold. Now you fucked us all over. Now we're going to kill you. I think that's what happened. And the third one, I think, takes place on a different planet.
Do they talk?
I don't know. I assume that's what they were thinking because they were attacking everybody. But yeah, the third one takes place on another Winter World, which I have not seen. So, but I've not played, I should say. But yeah, that's Winter Levels. Oh, before we forget, every Hoth level in every Star Wars game.
Something about Tauntauns, right?
Yeah. They just work.
Just want to be clear. You can't murder your way onto the nice list.